We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Stressed it all year and all offseason. What we did last year was really good, but it means nothing. We're 0-0. One of the coaches, I heard him talking to a couple players yesterday, talking about reclimbing the mountain. We don't get to start up here. We're starting at the bottom. Everything we did, all the success we had, it doesn't mean anything. Everybody's 0-0. Everybody's at the start line, and we have to reestablish the things that we did well last year because people have tape. They're going to watch how we did. Some of the things that we did offensively, we put up some really good numbers. Don't think that teams have not studied that and are going to have game plans to stop that. And then what can we do better? What are the things that we struggled with that maybe didn't help us get over the hump in that AFC Championship game or an earlier game that season?
That's good. That's the comment I was referring to. That's cool. Yeah. You know, the whole, hey, it's basically, you know, teams saw that we were really good passing the ball. I was using that as your... as the logic to go in with your question that you're going to bring up here, which I should probably let you do. Sorry. Happy Thursday. We spent some time talking about all the Sabres moves from yesterday. We're going to get into some more football. 803-0550 to join us if you have any hockey thoughts on who went in and who went out yesterday for the Sabres. And and now we'll talk a little bit more about the Bills and philosophy and game plans and all that neat fun stuff.
So when I'm thinking about the Bills, I'm thinking about the Chiefs all the time, right? I'm thinking about Kansas City. And maybe you're like that. Maybe you think about the division. Maybe you think about, whatever. We'll think about the playoffs when we get there. Maybe you think about Baltimore, Tennessee, the one seed, whatever. You know, the Bills are a Super Bowl contender, and we want to see how they stack up. We're going to see a lot of great matchups this year. Kansas City, Tennessee, Tampa. Like, three of the biggest challenges are there on the schedule. So anyway, here's my question for you, my theory that I just – tell you, you give me one day off, and I just
I know you got questions all over the place today.
I just think of stuff.
You're supposed to relax on your day off.
So they draft a running back, and people would say, well, I mean, they're going to want to give him the ball, right? They draft receivers, and you'd say, well, they're going to throw him the ball. You draft linemen. We would think, like, well, those guys are going to they're going to start. Like, when you draft someone, you immediately just kind of think that must be a part of what they're going to do. So the Bills spend their first two picks on defensive end. And I don't necessarily think that it was a mission to do that. I mean, Bean has said as much. We didn't set out to go defensive end. That's just how it worked out, and that's who we got. All right. So here's my question/theory/point to bring up. In the first Chiefs game, what did the Bills do? They dared Kansas City to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That was the goal. We're going to dare them to run the ball, and the game did stay close. It was a one-possession game. The Bills maybe were one stop away from getting the ball back, down 8 points. They had a chance. And after the game, you know, it felt like it wasn't the offense's best day. Wow, they got run on. They got run all over. Well, that was the plan, to get run all over. The second time they played the Chiefs, the offense didn't get anything going. The defense couldn't stop, you know, Kelsey, couldn't stop Hill. I'm just recapping. Here's the point I want to get to. If you draft a pair of defensive ends, and then, you know, that's how the board falls, and you think now you're better rushing the passer, and that's going to be something that improves this year, doesn't that line up for, of course, you have to get your offense going against that team, which you haven't done in two games, doesn't that mean you're much less likely to play it the way they played it the first time? Now you are thinking, hoping, We can get after the passer better. If I want game-changing plays against the Chiefs,
right,
I need sacks. Can I get the ball on the ground? Right? Can I force Mahomes into bad throws? Now, it's very difficult to do because he's one of the best, if not the best, currently. But you have now these two defensive ends you're hoping grow into. I mean, terror might be a strong word, but you're hoping they are difference makers on the outside. Those guys are going to make a difference rushing the passer, right?
A difference enough that you would not have the same game plan or approach to Kansas City as you did
right
in the game.
Now,
October.
Maybe they were never going to do it that way again, but I think it kind of adds up to not quite we want them to pass, but this is a way the Bills wanted to be better against the Chiefs when they pass it. So, you know, we've seen them play the Mahomes Chiefs twice with this version of the team. One time, it was keep it close. The other time, I don't know what the game plan was, really. They definitely didn't play it the same way, or maybe the Chiefs didn't play it the same way. But I just think that if we can, you know, connect offense to defense and defense to offense, which we sometimes do in football, I think drafting defensive ends means, yeah, we do have the kind of offense where we got to get that thing going, and we're not afraid of a shootout because the way to beat the Chiefs is to get in a shootout, score a ton of points, and hope to get game-changing plays. Kind of the way the Bills beat the Raiders last year.
Yep. And by the way, the way the Raiders beat the Chiefs last year.
Yeah. You got a couple big plays from your defensive line, knowing that's how it has to happen. You're going to need big plays from them, and you're going to need 35 points.
Mm-hmm. But the Raiders also came out and threw the ball, and they put that game away in the second half by throwing the ball and attacking
right
Kansas City and knowing we've got to keep scoring touchdowns.
So a lot of talk about we need to run the ball better, mm-hmm, and I think everybody agrees that that would be nice, to run the ball better. But it's another check mark for me on the not running the ball more. We have to run when we have to. Well, when do you decide you ever really have to? I think you're just going to go out there and try and find a way to pass the ball better against the Chiefs. That's what I think they actually need to do, is find a way to pass the ball better against the Chiefs.
I think you decide to run the ball if the elements make it that it's really hard for you to pass the football. I mean, the strength of the team is throw the ball. But if it's a day that something's going, it's a blizzard, I don't know what the heck's going on. But whatever, if for some reason you are forced to say, okay, you know what, passing could be a little bit problematic today, we might need to lean on the running game in this particular game. But I think, okay, I'll use Tampa again, right? Everybody around the NFL, especially here or other AFC markets that are trying to figure out how to beat Kansas City, everybody referred to Tampa. Look what the Bucs did in the Super Bowl. Okay, so what was the Bucs game? What does Kansas City like to do offensively? Throw the ball. Did Tampa go into the Super Bowl and say, all right, we're going to basically dare you to run? Nah, they said, all right, you like to throw the ball? Fine. We've got a four-man pass rush. We're good. So you go ahead and throw the ball, and we're going to rush our four guys, and we're going to disrupt Patrick Mahomes, and they were very successful doing that. Oh, by the way, while their offense was finishing off drives with touchdowns, which the Bills didn't do in both meetings against the Chiefs, they didn't go and say, let's make Kansas City do something they don't want to do. It was, hey, we've got a good pass rush. Go ahead. Don't worry about it, Kansas City. We're not gonna, you know, take everything away and let you run like crazy against us. Go ahead. Do what you got to do. We're going to counter it. We're going to be able to have an answer for you. And then, of course, you need to score points, which they did. Their game plan was, you know, almost perfect, really, on both sides of the ball. Anyway, that's a long way of getting to. I don't think the Bills' philosophy of how to beat the Chiefs, the Bills' philosophy of how to beat the Chiefs is exactly what you just laid out. That's why they got pass rushers. They're going to do, hey, what Tampa did. Get to Mahomes, put up, what did they get, 30-something points, whatever they got in the Super Bowl. Get to Mahomes and score lots of points. It's not, let's make sure they run the ball. And, you know, maybe we can win with 21 points. No, you got to attack them offensively. And again, defensively, don't be afraid of their strength. Find a way to stop their strength, which is their passing game. How do you do that? Okay, let's get a better pass rush so we don't have to blitz. We'll drop guys in coverage. We'll send four. We can pressure Mahomes. We, you know, take away a little bit of time, and maybe space for him. And there's your game plan to beat Kansas City. Oh, by the way, yes, we're still going to have to throw the football and attack them. Yeah, I don't think it changes anything. I think if we're going to keep talking about the Tampa model was, let's do everything to stop the pass and make them run it 50 times. No. Just go ahead and do what you want to do, Kansas City, and we got an answer for you. I think the Bills hope they do that now defensively.
Yeah.
With their pass rush. Where are they deepest on defense? Their defensive line. They've got right? They've got, Sal and I were talking about this yesterday, Jeremy. They've got like 11, 12 guys for, I don't know, nine spots. They definitely have talent and depth up front. I think it is the toughest position, single position, to cut down to the 53-man roster. So, and Brandon Bean said it again yesterday. He and McDermott believe in building teams up front. Build your lines. I think they're going to say, we're not going to be afraid of Kansas City. Let's go after them with a four-man rush. Let's get Mahomes. And Josh, we've got to score points.
Yeah, I mean, if you're hoping to stop the Chiefs, you're hoping to do it with game-changing plays, right? If the Bills beat the Chiefs, let's say week five rolls around and they win that game, what do you think is more likely? That they beat them by holding them to 19 points?
40 to 32.
Or it's that, and the way that they won the game was, yes, they gave up points, but they forced a bad throw. They mm-hmm. batted a ball. They got a couple of sacks.
You got to stop in the fourth quarter.
They got the ball on the ground once.
Like, yeah.
You kind of have to be against a team like that. And this is true of how you play the Bills, too. You kind of have to be a boom or bust defense. Like, oh, we got beat on two deep touchdown passes, but we also got the ball on the ground twice.
Right.
Like that. Instead of, you know, your even performance as a defense, you know, I'm trying to talk about it like an NHL plus minus stats or whatever, but it's, well, we gave up 30 points, but we also stopped them four times, as opposed to, you know, we stopped them every time out there. You just know that's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excuse me. Hang on. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, that's why I think their philosophy in the Bills' philosophy in the first game was, you're not going over the top on us. It's just not going to happen, Patrick Mahomes. We are not going to get, generally speaking, not that any team wants to get beat deep, but the Bills are very much so geared to a defense that isn't going to get beat over the top. They won't give up the big play. They'll keep everything underneath, and, you know, you're going to have to make a long drive, and they figure you'll screw up at some point. But, you know, I think they went to too much of an extreme to make sure Patrick Mahomes didn't beat him over the top. And that meant, okay, you're going to do that. We're just going to hand the ball off all night, and we're going to bleed you to death. It's a slow death, essentially. Sorry to use such a gruesome analogy. And I just don't think that's the way to beat Kansas City. Can I use a boxing rope-a-dope thing? I'm trying to think if I could use an analogy of go toe-to-toe with the heavyweight champ. You know, don't rope-a-dope. Don't try and dance around the ring and hope at the end of the night you win it on the card. Go stand in there and trade blows, because the best way to beat the champ is to trade blows with the champ. I think that's what their philosophy will be.
And if you're using that, the Bills have never really given the Chiefs their best punch.
No, not offensively.
And that you could say that's game plan specific. You could say whatever execution, whatever the reason, they've never looked good offensively against that team. So when week five rolls around and it's Bills Chiefs, the Bills can be 4-0 or 3-2, 3-1 or whatever, because it's week five, right? I'm sure, you know, I reserve the right to change this opinion by the time we get to that game. I'm only evaluating their offense.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like that's been my answer about how to judge against this team for a year now. It'll be their third matchup in a year against the Chiefs. And almost nobody holds this offense down right anymore. And if the Chiefs do it again, then it becomes, you know, how come? How do they do it? How does Steve Spagnuolo find a way to do this?
Mm-hmm.
So the defense could have the best performance of their lives that night, and they could win. Great. That'd be a good sign. I'd be more worried about how does the offense look against that team, because it's, you know, it's the only team they can't seem to find answers against to this point.
Yeah, I don't think the storyline is going to change on Kansas City. If you want to beat the Chiefs again next season, you're going to have to outscore them. You know, you mentioned that it's hard to hold the Bills offense down. Guess what? It's really hard to hold the Chiefs offense down, right? This is where you'll bring up the stat about in Mahomes' losses, they still average like 30 points a game. The exception to the rule was the Super Bowl. They had nine points.
We thought it would look more like Bills-Rams. And Bill's Seahawks,
mm-hmm.
right? 44-34,
yep.
Big lead, comeback, never over. That's what I've always thought these Chiefs games were going to look like.
Yeah.
And for some they haven't.
The shootout game, right. Yeah, what was the crazy Rams Monday night game? Was that Chiefs or was that Baltimore?
It was Chiefs. It was like, what,
54-51, whatever. Yeah, like that. Like that, honestly, that's, first off, it's fun to watch. But I think if you're going to beat the Chiefs, that's
Well,
that you've got to be able to outpunch the champ.
And if we talk about last year when we started to believe that the Bills really had something, a Super Bowl caliber team, aren't most of the answers Rams, Seahawks, when they started
big
putting up those
points.
Numbers
mm-hmm.
offensively? They beat the Seahawks, and I mean, I think Seattle scored some garbage time touchdowns right. there, so it might not have even been that close. And the Rams, by the way, came all the way back, and they win it late. But it, for at least for me, it started to get serious when they started doing those kind of numbers.
I think even Miami in week two. I mean, Miami's defense wasn't bad. They lost a corner that day, which was a big problem. But that's a good Miami defense that the Bills put up, what, 40, whatever it was, in week two last year? And it rolled from there. But look at Kansas City. I know we got to get the break, sorry. But I pulled up their results again from last season, you know? I mean, they lose two games. One, they don't play the starters at the end of the season. So the one real loss, they scored 32 points. But Vegas put up 40. And again, the exception to the rule is what Tampa did. And I think there were, as you've pointed out, there were a number of things that came together to make that performance come to fruition for Tampa, including Kansas City's quarterback was nicked up and their offensive line was a mess. I think to go into this season and think, okay, Tampa built the model. This is how you're going to beat Kansas City. Let's not forget, Tampa scored 31. I know what they did to Mahomes. I know what they did to the Chiefs offense, but Brady and that offense was really good that day. He figured out how to beat Spagnuolo's defense, right? The Bills haven't done that. So let's not forget that. I don't think anything changes. Yes. Great. Get a better pass rush, get some pressure on Mahomes, right? Because you can't cover Kelce and Hill all day long. But at the end of the day, I don't think the formula to beat Kansas City will change at all. They should still average over 30 points a game, and you're still going to have to score to beat Kansas City at the end of the day. I don't think anything's different. 803-0550 to join us this morning. We can talk Bills training camp with you. You got some Bills football you would like to discuss. Wonderful. We're also getting in your thoughts on a busy day for the Sabres yesterday. Who went out, who went in, your thoughts at the end of the day when you took it all in as far as all the changes on the roster yesterday. And there's something else we haven't covered you want to get to, that's fine too. Grab a line. Join us this morning, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's one of my favorite music beds. I love the Olympic theme music.
It is good.
Growing up, I couldn't. It really hurt to wait 4 years just to hear that music again. On our Western Hotline, we spare no expense. We're going to Tokyo because Matt Gould, former colleague of mine at Empire Sports Network, and is working the Olympics. He is a cameraman for NBC. A little swimming, a little diving. Worked the opening ceremonies. Going to be doing track and field starting tomorrow. And Matt is with us on the West Her Hotline. Matt, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, gentlemen. Nice talking to you. And Howard, you had to wait 5 years to hear that music this time around.
Yeah, that's true. There's an extra little wait this time, but it's worth it. It's good music. It really is. You've worked the Olympics before, all right? So you're telling me you worked the Winter Olympics in Korea. Those had fans. What's this been like so far for you? What's the experience like?
Yeah, I was there for Shaun White winning the gold medal in Korea with a fan base that just erupted. And here we are. I worked swimming earlier this week with nobody but the teams there. It's just, you know, I worked the NHL hockey bubble without fans last year. So I guess I'm a little used to it. But I think opening ceremonies was just bizarre to have 206 countries walking in, waving to empty seats.
Yeah.
You know, it just was, that was tough.
I do. I even watching some of the award, you know, the gold medalists the other day, I was saying I was watching mixed doubles table tennis and Japan won. It was their first ever gold and they beat China, yeah. I guess, who was a dynasty in table tennis. Go ahead.
It's funny you say that because I'm sitting here in my hotel room watching the bronze medal table tennis with the same female that won that gold.
And I just felt like, right, but what a great moment. And it's too bad that there it wasn't filled with fans and people in Japan who could they could share that moment with.
Exactly right. Even just watching this live in the hotel room, there's six coaches cheering in this arena that's actually right next to Olympic Stadium where they're playing the table tennis. Hmm. And it's just empty in there. And here's this Mima Ito is the girl's name that is playing for the bronze right now. And she's a national treasure here. Like, I know all of Japan is watching this match live right now, wishing they could be there.
You were in the NHL playoff bubble in Toronto, right, in 2020. It seems so long ago, but it was last year. Compare and contrast. Is there an Olympic bubble?
Sort of. We're on a soft. Kind of a soft quarantine, I guess you would say. We have 14 days where we're allowed to be hotel and venue only as anyone coming into the country. So it's not quite the same. Like in Toronto, it was hotel and venue only, but there were fences around us, and it just had a totally different feel, largely because you really didn't know what you were getting into. Now, if we've been through this for a year and a half, you almost feel like the world is watching you through cages still, you know, because when we walk into Olympic Stadium, there's a set of Olympic rings right outside the fence. And I've shared some pictures of lines of people from Tokyo lined up to take pictures with those rings because that's as close as they're getting to the Olympic Games. They're taking pictures of us, this simple little TV crew, through the fence because that's as close as they can get. And it's, I think it's way more disappointing. You know, hockey playoffs are hockey playoffs. That's fine. But this is so much more disappointing than that. So, yeah, it feels like a bubble, but we do feel like we have a touch more freedom because I will actually, August 1st, this Sunday, have freedom to be able to go around the city and take public transportation and check out a little bit of Tokyo in the free time that exists, which isn't very much.
Yeah, one of the things, Matt, you tweeted was a time-lapse video of the bus trip from, what, the venue to a hotel maybe.
Yeah.
And it struck me how long that trip was. Like I would imagine in Toronto, like the other bubble, it was very quick, right? Like
we walked.
Yeah. So here's a giant city with, you know, is it spread out over the course of the city? And how much, how much does the Olympic bubble that's a soft bubble affect everything else? Because it's smack dab in the middle of what is, of course, a huge city.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you don't have the traffic of fans, I suppose, but you're still in a massive city. Tokyo is an impressive city. It's so clean. It's a beautiful city. I'm looking forward to walking it, checking out the train system here. But yeah,
Howard loves trains.
I love trains. Let me. I wish I could be there. I want videos from the front car.
I've heard it's great, and I will get you some video. No problem. But yeah, there are highways that are marked off just for Olympic travel for the Olympic buses and getting teams back and forth so they don't get caught up in traffic and all of that. But yeah, it's spread out like a normal Olympics would be in a major city. But you just don't have the same feel. Like there's not the same energy that I felt in Korea with fans being able to kind of intermingle with it.
Will the athletes, you were talking about how, you know, come Sunday, a certain amount of days, then you can roam the city, so to speak. Two-part question. I assume the athletes are in their own bubble in the village, right? You're not inside the village. Will the athletes have that same freedom, Matt? Can they go see Tokyo after a certain amount of days?
I don't know. I think once they're free of their competition, they would be able to. But I would imagine that, you know, prior to that, I mean, I'm actually tested every day that I'm here. I have taken a vaccine, but I'm still tested every day because I'm on the field of play for track and field. I'll be right on the field. So I have access to the athletes, so I have to be tested every day as they are. And that will continue even after those 14 days for me. That's mostly to protect the athletes, I think, more than anything.
Right.
But I don't think that they're going to be bouncing around until after their competition is finished. Like, swimming finishes up here in 4 or 5 days. So they'll have some freedom, and we'll probably see some of those athletes maybe watching some track and field. But I would highly doubt that they're leaving much their bubble until they're guaranteed that their competition is finished.
What for you and everything you have been shooting so far, and there have been some U.S. gold medals that you've seen, of course.
Yeah.
What has been the best moment from your standpoint so far?
A couple. I think opening ceremonies, was even without the fans, was really cool for me. It's my first summer opening ceremonies. I had a position on the field where I was the first low look of a team entering the arena. So 206 countries literally walked right past me, which is, I've been around the world a little bit. I've been to Africa. I've been to Ukraine. I've been to Europe, you know, all of that. But to have the entire world walk by you was an amazing experience for me that I won't take for granted. But I think the other one was the swimmer from Alaska that won gold in, I think it was breaststroke. My position in swimming for a couple of days was with Michelle Tafoya doing interviews. So I didn't have any responsibility until a race was over, but I had a front row seat. We were right next to the pool watching the racing. And watching her come from behind and totally unexpectedly win a gold medal above one of her teammates that was supposed to win gold. And then coming over to us, I have a monitor attached to my tripod that shows that can show them reaction from home. So she walked right up to us. She hadn't even gotten her medal yet. She walked right up to us for the interview, and we played for her the reaction from the gymnasium in Alaska. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
That's cool. I didn't see it. No.
You got to look it up. Her high school gymnasium, I think it was, in Alaska, filled with people going absolutely bonkers. And she is still out of breath from the race watching this on this monitor. That was, and I'm standing, you know, 3 feet from her, four feet from her. That was an amazing, probably will be my most memorable experience here. Who knows what's coming on track, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah, see, I think, right, track and field for the Summer Olympic Games, isn't track and field like the prime assignment? You got, I would assume you're pretty excited about some of the stuff you're going to be seeing.
I am. I pretended to run track in high school. at Fredonia High School, I did triple and long jump. It wasn't great, but I'm looking forward to it. It's one of the three major venues for NBC. Swimming, gymnastics, and track are the three big, you know, the trifecta of Olympic sports for the major NBC coverage. So being a part of two of those three for me is absolutely, I'm over the moon being a part of both of those things. But track will be great because the thing about it, track actually is the anchor leg of the Olympics. They take the last week. It's really the dominant sport over the last week because most of gymnastics is done. Swimming will be finished. So we'll be the premier sport. And if what's backwards here is, like in swimming, the medal matches are in the morning. Because that is prime time back home. If you don't think USA viewership has an impact on the Olympics, they schedule the gold medal matches here in Japan in the morning so that it is live and prime time back in the States.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's some of that going on with track. There's a lot of night stuff going on with track, which would be live in the morning back in the States. But it's going to be a pretty interesting experience. It's morning and evening sessions here, so there's going to be some very long days for us because they're skipping the afternoon heat. It's been very hot, very humid. It's kind of like being in Florida right now in the dead of summer. It's 90 degrees, really humid. You stand there and drip. So they're skipping the middle part of the day, just morning and evening sessions, which is pretty smart. But, it's the anchor leg of the Olympics, and it's going to be really fun to watch and be a part of.
Well, it's cool watching you go through it, following you on Twitter and all the stuff you're experiencing. So listen, stay safe. Enjoy Tokyo when you get to roam around. I look forward to the videos from the trains. And thanks
I'll get you some train shots.
That'd be awesome. Thanks for coming on again. I always like to have you on from bubbles.
Yeah, thank you. Let's get rid of the bubbles, though, shall we?
Yeah, maybe next time you don't have to be in a bubble. Thanks, Matt.
That'd be great.
Have fun.
Thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
All right, man. Matt Gould joining us, NBC cameraman, working the Olympics, part of NBC's coverage on their family of networks. We'll get a break in 803-0550. We've been talking some Sabres about the day yesterday, the ins, the outs, the guys leaving, the guys coming, and your thoughts on the whole day of activities. Get some Bill stuff in as well. You got a question about the Bills with training camp underway. We'll delve into that a little bit more at the top of the hour when Sal Capaccio joins us. 803-0550 for your questions, comments, opinions, WGR. Hey, let's get right to some calls. 803-0550 to join us this morning. We'll go out to Denver. Steve, thanks for holding on. And as soon as I figure out the board, there you go. You're on. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning. What was that when it comes to goalies? I'm just shocked that, to me, they're fielding a minor league hockey team this coming year. I don't get what went on in free agency. I know that they're trying to build, you know, with their younger guys. I guess I get that. But I thought they would be proactive when it came to, you know, realizing that they were probably going to lose Allmark and go out and see what they could do as far as bringing in somewhat of a younger goalie that they could kind of build on that way. I know they got that young goalie that they used last year a couple times, but I just thought that they would go get more of an established younger goaltender.
Yeah, and there were a couple of young guys that moved, right? Carolina traded their guy who was actually very good for, what, like a third rounder to Detroit? There have been other goalies that have moved.
I didn't, because they have Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and then the kid they traded for from Florida. They have two young, and Portillo at Michigan. They have three young goalie prospects.
But those guys are all too young.
No, I know. But I don't think they were going to – if they were going to go sign anybody, even if Allmark signed, we're sitting here talking about, all right, 2 years maybe? Don't go long with Allmark.
Well, the Carolina kid, again, you could have traded for somebody.
Yeah.
But right about now, the free agent market, Brayton, is anybody left from goalies?
Corey Schneider, I think, is left.
Yeah,
and
did
Dubnyk resign? Did Devin Dubnyk sign somewhere?
I don't think he did.
So
no.
I think those are the two bigger names that are out there, UFAs.
Players, free agents.
Because I was looking at it last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
goaltender.
It's pretty
it's a thin
over
market.
Like,
yeah.
There are forwards out there that you could get that you've heard of that you might like and might change our conversation.
Here's some of the notable names for you. Unrestricted free agent goaltenders, Tuukka Rask, but he's not
injured.
Likely.
He's Boston. He's already said he's not playing anywhere.
And
he's
injured.
Right.
He's going to be out 5 or 6 months if he plays again.
Devin Dubnyk is available. Anders Nilsson, former Sabre.
Ryan Miller. No, you retired.
Let's see. Henrik Lundqvist is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis McElhinney, if you want to bring him in and make him your starter, but it's probably not the best idea. And other than that,
not the greatest
your
list.
Your market for goaltenders is woof.
And for any goaltender that's going to want, like, that still has a career left, this might be, you could look at it one of two ways. Hey, do you want to prove yourself in front of a young team? You know, you'll be the MVP kind of guy. Like, you get peppered, you get a lot of work, or you might not get a lot of wins.
Yeah, I don't know, the goaltenders, everything yesterday was, you know, yeah, okay. I wasn't expecting big things. I wasn't expecting a big free agent signing. I didn't think they were going to give out. I didn't want them to give out a big goalie contract. If the report is true that Allmark was seeking 6 for $36, I would have fired Kevin Adams if he gave out that contract. So maybe they thought they could get Allmark for 2 or 3 or maybe even 4 years at $4 or $5 million. And he looked at it and thought, let's say that was the ballpark offer from the Sabres was in the ballpark of Boston's. All right, you're Allmark. Where are you going to go? I got a shot to start for the Bruins. I mean, Rask, if he does come back, is going to be gone for a while after surgery. And the other kid is what? And is going to be in his second year? What's the Jeremy?
Swayman.
Swayman, thank you.
Yep.
So if I'm Allmark, where am I going? Let's see. All things considered equal here. Oh, I can go be a starting goalie in Boston and be in the playoffs for the first time in my life.
And he's likely taking over for Tuukka Rask once Rask's moves on.
Eventually retires.
Right. Yeah, and it might be after this upcoming year.
So I guess Jeremy, I guess for me, the question is, right, was there another guy who signed as opposed to Craig Anderson and Aaron Dell, which were on nobody's radar? Was there another player did you think Adams should have been more aggressive for that position?
The reality is they're going to have to trade for players that don't have no move clauses to build the team.
Well, then, you should have traded, I guess, with Anaheim. Should you have tried to trade for John Gibson?
You still can.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, and that's debatable. That's a big money contract for many years, and he might have a no move. I'm just going to point to the Carolina guy who went to Detroit. Yeah. What was his
Nedeljkovic? Yeah, Nedeljkovic.
Like, that was a guy. That was an idea. I mean, Gibson is
guy was on waivers during the season, wasn't he?
Who's that?
Nedeljkovic, wasn't he on waivers at some point?
Yeah, maybe.
And they didn't do anything there.
They didn't want to pay him, and it wasn't even expensive.
Right.
Got him for 2 years. That's the other thing. Like, you could think that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is going to be it. Well, deal with the problem of having too many good goalies when you have too many good goalies. Don't not sign one because you think, like, wow, I mean, come on. The guy behind him is going to be very good.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe he is. And this is what they did with Allmark, right? Like, Hutton was supposed to be the bridge to Allmark. They did bridge to Allmark. Hutton stopped being an effective bridge. Allmark got good, and then he left. So, you know, the cupboard is a lot more bare than it probably should be in that at that spot.
Don't forget, guys, also, Louis Domingue is available, too.
Oh, boy.
That's right.
Let me get another call on goalie in here. Rick, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
You spent 9 years developing this guy. He comes in a horrible season and somehow has a winning record and a .916 save percentage, and you let him go for nothing to your division rival. Kevin Adams should probably be fired for this, as well as letting Coach Kruger stay on too long last year when the season became a disaster.
If the story is true, Rick, and Ullmark was trying to get 6 years and $36 million from the Sabres, would you have given him that contract?
Maybe. It might have been better to overpay him than to let him go for nothing.
Yeah, I wouldn't have.
The biggest mark against Ullmark is that he has not stayed
healthy.
He has not yet stayed healthy, which could be a problem. But, you know, again, like the point is, this is a player you did develop. He's been pretty good almost the whole time.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he is a good goalie.
His, you know, if you want to do the advanced starts, like quality start percentage or goals saved
five
above.
5-on-5 save percentage.
All of it. He's provably pretty good.
Yeah.
And you usually wouldn't let somebody walk. Here's the other part of it. You could have traded him at the deadline, maybe for a draft pick. Maybe you trade him for a third. Who knows what you trade him for? Was he hurt at the deadline, actually? Or did he get hurt after the deadline?
I'm trying to remember when he got injured.
Sneaky Joe was tweeting about it last night. I'm going to trust Joe. Joe was saying trade him at the deadline. Maybe he was just out for a week or something. It might have complicated the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you don't know you're going to be able to bring this player back, you can trade them. That's what they did with Ristolainen. That's what they did with Reinhart, not at the deadline, but ahead of time. Like, oh, we got to make sure we get something for these players. And they did. You could make a case, again, depending on the timing of his injury, could have done it 2 weeks before the deadline. Hey, give us a third. Give us a fourth. And you don't lose him for nothing. And then you spend that third or fourth to get somebody else, like the guy from Carolina.
He played, Ullmark played up to February 25th and then missed a month.
When was the deadline?
Right. It was in the end of February, wasn't it, guys? Right around the end of the month. So
he might have gotten hurt like the day before.
Right around the deadline, I think he would have gotten hurt. Yeah. Either slightly before. But see, that's the thing. Again,
Those are gambles you take. They sat Taylor Hall so they wouldn't lose his value at the deadline.
Maybe they felt pretty good that they were going to be able to keep Ullmark. I mean, I'm not talking about the deadline idea. But as they got closer, right, Kevin Adams kept saying, what? Our priority in free agency is to re-sign Ullmark. We want him back. They're having constant discussions. Maybe they felt he was going to sign. But again, if the stories that are out there are true, I would not have given him a six-year contract. I don't think that would have made any sense whatsoever, even though I like Ullmark. And if the Sabres offer was in the area of the Bruins offer, let's say they weren't that far apart, it does ultimately come down to the player and what he wants to do. And sure, you can say it's bad asset management. They should have traded him at the deadline. Okay, I get that. But at this point, it comes down to the player. And if I'm Ullmark, if you're Ullmark, where are you going to sign? Why come here? Why stay here? I know he said nice things about the fans, loves the city. I get that. But you're him. Why would you sign here? You would go to a better team and a better organization, and you have a shot at being the starting goalie for a team that should be in the playoffs next season. So to me, I'm not angry at Kevin Adams. If you're going to be angry, you should have traded him in February and not even letting it get to this point. And I'm not even angry about that. All right, we'll get a break in. Sal's standing by going, they're late again. 803-0550 to join us. We'll do some Bills football talk and go through the first day of training camp with Mr. Capaccio when we get back. WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.